Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with Josh Nelson, where we get real, we get honest, and we get clear about the financial world and your money. This is Josh Nelson, a certified financial planner and founder and CEO of Keystone Financial Services. We love feedback, and we'd love it if you would pass it on to me directly at josh@keystonefinancial.com. Also, please stay plugged in with us, get updates on episodes, and help us promote the podcast, and also subscribing to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service. Let the financial fun begin. A few years ago, a video game came out called Among Us. The whole point of the game is that everyone looks the same. You're on a spaceship and everybody kind of looks the same, but there are actually two different classes of people on the ship. One of those is crewmates, and crewmates are there to go about their mission and complete some tasks and so forth, but there is at least one imposter among the crew. And the whole point is to identify by finding clues who is legitimate and who is the imposter, and try to get rid of them before the imposter kills you. The reason why I think about this today is that when you think about millionaires, and I get that question a lot, is what does it take to become a millionaire? And of course, these days, there are a lot of millionaires. And in fact, $1 million doesn't go nearly as far as it used to because of inflation. So it's important to recognize that $1 million is not a bad thing. But when you think about it from a retirement perspective, $1 million will generate anywhere between $40,000 to $50,000 per year in income. And based off of a lot of people's lifestyles, that's not going to cut it, especially when it comes to inflation. That being said, it's still just a nice round number. And since most of us are far, far away from being a millionaire sounds pretty darn good. The question comes up a lot is, what does it take to be a millionaire? And how do you spot an imposter? And the reality is that it's kind of difficult because millionaires, people who actually have quite a bit of wealth, most of the time you wouldn't even know it because they tend to be people who don't brag a lot. They don't flaunt their wealth. They don't run around, you know, bragging and so forth. In fact, that's usually the sign of the imposter, is that it's somebody who's really kind of over the top and really, really wants you to think that they're significant because of their amount of stuff. Usually it's about stuff, toys and so forth. So it's important to recognize that the people that actually have the wealth out there are not who you think it is. In fact, the occupations, the cars, all the different things that you would expect are usually the exact opposite. Let me give you an example. One thing that I found among most of my clients, because the vast majority of my clients are in the millions of dollars, they've accumulated a fair amount of wealth. And so I like to kind of observe, what do they do versus maybe the average person in America? Well, one of the things that they do is they tend to hold on to their vehicles for a long time. So when I ask them about that and ask them if they're ready to replace their vehicle, oftentimes they'll say, no, this is still good. You know, it still does the job, still like my car, and they don't feel like they have to go out and buy something. So it's having that mentality of not being a consumer, but being an investor. And that's why they have what they have. So today I'm going to talk about a few clues. That's one of the anti-clues is, spending. Somebody who's got all the toys, they've always got the new boat or jet ski or car or vacations, things like that. And some people, you know, legitimately, maybe they actually have so much wealth that they're just doing that and they're still living below their means. But the reality is that most people that look like a millionaire, look like that they're really wealthy, actually are not very wealthy. They just have a lot of stuff and they have enough money and they're probably borrowing a bunch of it that they can go ahead and still do it anyway. So let's talk about a few clues of millionaires and how you might identify one and how you might emulate what they're doing to become a millionaire yourself. First of all, they live below their means. As we just talked about, for somebody who's got all the toys and so forth, it's not to say that that's a bad thing. It's not to say that it's bad to buy stuff or to have good experiences, things like that. That's kind of the whole point of accumulating wealth is, you know, we get to enjoy it, right? We get to enjoy it and hopefully not have to work forever. So a lot of people, that's why they're accumulating wealth. They want income. And with that income, they go out and buy stuff and experiences. And of course, they use the money to help other people as well. But they live below their means and they take the difference and they take that extra and they invest it consistently. They don't compromise on that. It could be through a 401k. It could be through a company stock purchase plan. It could be through their own accumulation just by having money transferred into their brokerage account each month from their business. It's automatically putting money away regardless of what's going on, just gradually building wealth up over time. So again, what they don't look like is the person with all the toys, vacations. They buy good vehicles. They keep them a long time. But overall, one commonality among people with wealth is that they live below their means and they're taking that money and doing something smart with it. Number two is they don't tend to borrow money. In fact, most of the people that have a lot of wealth, they don't have any debt and they haven't for a long, long time. And maybe they never have. They save up their money and that's what they end up doing is they save up to buy stuff. When they buy a boat, when they buy a car, when they buy a vacation, they save up and they use that money to buy it. They don't just spend the money first and ask questions later. Ultimately, these are people that tend to be planners. They really plan ahead. If there's going to be a purchase, they really plan it far in advance, and they have plenty of money set aside in cash just in case there's an unexpected expense. In other words, they're planners. They're not people who are just running around spending without thinking about it before. And the last thing is that these tend to be people that accumulate wealth through owning assets. What I mean by that is that wealth tends to be accumulated in a couple of different categories. One of those is by owning real estate. There are a lot of people that are very wealthy that have accumulated real estate, investment real estate specifically. In other words, the home that you live in, not a great investment really. You know, my home, I think it's going to keep pace with inflation over time, but really, is it a great investment? No, it's expensive. You think about all the money you put into your property, it doesn't tend to be that great of a return over time. But investment real estate's a different story. Not that anything is guaranteed, but owning residential real estate, commercial real estate, maybe some combination of those things, not only is there a component of price appreciation that should happen over time, but the second thing is that there's income. You gain income off of that property unless you've got vacancies, and that's a good reason to diversify. If you're going to buy real estate, make sure you can do it in a very diversified way and without accumulating a bunch of debt. But a lot of these folks, they accumulate because they own real estate or they own a business, and maybe they own both. That's great. But they may own a business, and they could own a business one of two ways, because you might say, Josh, I do not want to open a business. It sounds like a nightmare as far as the risk and the time and everything that goes into it. I would tend to agree with you. You know, there are some downsides of owning a business. I actually like it. Do I like every aspect of it? No. And in fact, it's funny that the average person that opens a business, the reason why they do that is they say, it's going to be great because I'll have so much freedom and so much time. That's why I want to do that versus working for somebody. If you talk to most business owners, they'll tell you that's not what happens. That might be what you're thinking about when you open the business, but you realize pretty quickly that there's a lot of time and you know, a lot of stress that comes with it. So the other way of owning a business is owning somebody else's business. And the way we oftentimes would do that is invest in the stock market, because if we invest in the stock market, that means we get to own pieces of companies. And that could be big companies like Apple, it could be small companies. There's all kinds of different ways you can invest in businesses. But most oftentimes that would be an ownership through owning shares of company stock. So that tends to be where wealth is built over time, is by owning one of those two things. Now, again, a lot of our clients are from the tech sector. A lot of people worked in corporations and didn't own their own business. Many of them just started early on in their career with these habits as far as living below their means, taking the money, investing it consistently through their 401k, stock purchase plan. If they were lucky, they also got some equity awards and things through their company that they built up through the employee benefits. That is a good thing. But even if you don't have that, maybe you work for a company that doesn't have employee benefits. Maybe you are self-employed and so you don't have a company that you can participate in their plan. There's all kinds of things that you can do on your own. And certainly a good financial planner can help you figure out what that should look like for you. The whole point behind this is taking the money, putting it away someplace reasonably smart, and long-term investments that are reasonably smart oftentimes would be real estate or stocks. That's how a lot of wealth ends up getting accumulated. Again, make sure you can do it in a diversified way and make sure you've got your financial foundation set. In other words, make sure you've got all your debt paid off. Make sure you've got good cash in the bank. You've got insurance. Make sure that you've got your estate documents. There's a lot of financial foundation stuff that we talk about here that I don't want to say is a given, because oftentimes those things are not in place. People kind of rush into wanting to invest and build up their wealth. But if you don't have health insurance, you're going to be in trouble at some point. There's going to be a big medical bill and it's going to knock out all those investments very quickly. So it's important to make sure that you've got your financial foundation set before you start accumulating wealth. Commonalities among people that are truly are wealthy financially. One of those is living below their means. Number two is that they don't borrow money. They save to buy things. And if they do borrow money, they pay it off faster than they have to. They really try to get rid of the debt as fast as they possibly can. I get it that there are some debts that actually make sense. For example, if you're buying a business or if you are buying real estate, most people don't just have the money. They can write a check for those things. There may be a smart reason why you're borrowing money, but you're borrowing money on an appreciating asset versus borrowing money on a depreciating asset. For example, a boat, an RV, a car, those are things that are just going to depreciate. So not only are you making payments that affects your cash flow, you're paying interest on those things, but also you're paying payments on a depreciating asset. Save the money up. That's what a millionaire or a person that's very wealthy would do, is they pay cash for that stuff because they planned ahead. And that's number three, is they plan, they budget, they don't spend first and ask questions later. They're very good planners. They're people that really think ahead and do not make impulse purchases. That's the antithesis. All three of these things are the antithesis of the average American. And that's why people in the end don't tend to accumulate a lot of financial wealth, because they're not following these principles. So if you're not following these principles right now, you can start today. There's no reason why you have to wait. And if you're starting out, let's say that you're young and just starting out in your career, I highly suggest you take these to heart right away. Is how you're handling debt, how you are handling your cash and your income, and how you're handling your budget. Those are really, really important things to develop those financial habits early on, because that's how all my wealthy clients accumulated the wealth that they have. Nobody got lucky. I don't have any lottery winners. I don't have any professional athletes. I don't have, you know, kind of the lucky few, right, that ended up getting some huge windfall that came in. They followed these financial habits from a very early point in their career or their life. And that's why they have what they have, because they just started early and they followed these habits over and over until they accumulated wealth. So I hope that was helpful for today. I hope that you are enjoying the Wiser Financial Advisor. And if you want to support what we're doing, make sure you click subscribe on your favorite service. Oftentimes that would be Apple, Spotify, Google, one of these companies, but use the service that you enjoy the most. Hey, make sure you subscribe. And if you write us a review, that's even better. I certainly appreciate any help that you're able to provide as far as getting the word out there, because this isn't just about building a business. This is about helping real people, because we know people need help. We know that if they follow these principles, they've got a much higher likelihood of success. That the Wiser Financial Advisor has had a good, positive impact in your life and people around you. Have a great week, and God bless.
The opinions voiced in the Wiser Financial Advisor show with host Josh Nelson are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advisory services offered through Keystone Financial Services, an SEC registered investment advisor.